MLAs being unfairly clobbered over their pay and expenses. Assembly members have received £1,000 cut in their expenses. That's on top of a proposed six-year pay freeze for Stormont politicians. The body that sets MLA payments, the Independent Financial Review Panel, has imposed the £1,000 expenses cut. It's also proposing that MLA salaries stick at £48,000 a year until 2021. Until 2021. The panel chairman, Pat McCartan, is with us now. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Lembit Opik, the former MP, is with us. Good morning to you, Lembit.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
How are
good
you?
Good morning. How is this fare on them, Pat?
Well, it reduces the amount that is there for expenses entirely in line with the reduction in the budget for the Assembly itself, which is now down to 38 million. It used to be 48 million just a few years ago. And what we've been doing is reducing the overall ceiling on expenses. And this year, we had brought it from 69,238 to 67,161. But now we've removed the stationary allowance of £1,000 as well.
Why?
Because MLAs are having to do with only 38 millions instead of the 40 millions that previously was there for the Assembly.
But you're giving them a touch of their own medicine then, austerity.
No.
You're punishing them.
No, what we're doing is accepting the argument that came from the MLAs themselves through the Commission and through the Speaker that we needed to address certain issues for this budget. And of course, that's what we've done. The exceptional circumstances, and you've just heard earlier today on the radio, the number of jobs that are going to be lost as a result of budget cuts that are applying right across the piece, it would be quite wrong and unfair if the whole burden was borne by, not by the MLAs, but by the staff of the Assembly themselves.
But Pat, a six-year pay freeze is outrageous. It's ridiculous on them, isn't it? It's unfair.
We have merely proposed that the current level remains unchanged for the new mandate. We haven't said a six-year pay freeze. We have said it certainly will be, we are minded to make it the same level as it currently is, but we want
until
to hear from the public. We want to hear from the public.
But that's a six-year pay freeze.
No.
2021 is 6 years away.
We've also raised, Stephen, the question of looking at it with an indexation of increasing it a little by so much each year. What we haven't done, since there's still going to be 108 MLAs in 2021, we have not really addressed any significant restructuring because we got it right the first time and in fixing the level at 48,000. That was absolutely right in connection with comparison with MPs who are about to, by the way, have another 10% increase from May of this year when we elect them. And we think that the 48,000 level is absolutely right in terms of Northern Ireland salaries.
So what do you think at home this morning? 48 grand, do you think that's round about the right level for them? Lembit Opik, what do you think?
This is nuts, nuts, nuts. I don't make myself popular on your programme by defending MPs and MLAs and their salaries, but when will this witch hunt stop? The reason the MPs are getting the 10% increase is because an independent body, let me say that again, an independent body thought that they deserved that increase. Let's look at the MLAs. Why are we now in a situation where we think the MLAs are being overpaid? Very, very simply, I would remind you, the structure of the Northern Ireland Assembly, the number of seats, was intricately worked out as part of the peace deal. It wasn't because we were trying to fill the boots of politicians in Northern Ireland. So if we're going to monkey with that, we're actually monkeying with something I personally was involved in setting up when we were getting peace. Secondly, this expense, we talked about the salaries the last time, so I'll leave that for now. This expenses question totally baffles me. If expenses are really expensive, that's what you get paid back for the work you do. The harder you work, theoretically at least, the more expenses you incur. I've got a job in the Motorcycle Action Group, and when I work really hard that month, I incur more expenses because I'm travelling more and so forth. If you're going to cut the stationery and the other expenses potentially of MLAs, you're basically saying, don't work beyond this because it's going to cost you money. The world's gone crazy, Stephen. At the moment, we're just having this witch hunt in Northern Ireland, and I have to say in Westminster too, and we're more concerned about thousands, not millions, thousands, just because we want to look good in front of the public rather than actually giving them the space to do their job.
So it's a witch hunt, Pat.
It's certainly not, and Lembit is living in the past. We have actually used all of the other comparisons with the other legislatures to set the rates of pay, he hasn't addressed that issue at all. I know that 48,000 is twice the average earnings in Northern Ireland. And that's what actually is a very telling level in order to attract and retain people in politics here. That's what it's about. This is about building an assembly with real confidence in our politicians, not about destroying it by having the sorts of stories that have gone on about Westminster expenses in the past. We want to deal with that and eliminate
those. The Limit's point is...
You're mixing up two things.
I'm not mixing up two things. You raised the issue, Limit, of two things, both salaries and expenses, and I'm dealing with them both.
I'm telling you
that the salaries are fair for Northern Ireland, and I'm telling you also that the expenses are in need of overhaul. What we're not going to do is provide for an open season that anyone can claim what they like. That's not going to happen here.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but this is the two things. It wasn't the two things you described. The first thing is you suggested that the amount you pay an MLA in terms of salary and expenses has anything to do with the scandals that happened in Westminster. Nothing to do with it at all. One's about procedure, the other's about money. Here's the second big point. I think it's a massive point. Expenses were set up in a very cynical way in Westminster. I agree with you on that. I also made my observations about the amount MLAs should be paid, and I do fully accept it was my opinion, and to that extent I have to bow to what you're saying. You have a different view to that, and we discussed that, I think it was last week. Let me focus specifically therefore on the area that's really provoked me, and I guess you can hear it in my voice. When you start limiting expenses, if they're genuine expenses, you're saying if you work extra, and anybody who's listening to this who works in the private sector knows, if you're working really hard, you tend to incur greater expenses.
Yeah, so in other words, an expense is an expense. An expense is a legitimate claim. So why are you cutting it?
Personal expenses MLAs are able to claim under the existing rules. We're talking about the level for constituency office, running constituency offices. Limit doesn't know
that. Well, that must go up rather than go down over the years.
Well, let me tell you, what Limit doesn't know is that there are 108 MLAs here, but they have 125 offices for which they claim. Now, many of them have three offices, and we're talking about six members per constituency, not one member. So there are issues that are clearly to be dealt with in terms of addressing them. And what I would much prefer
to
see...
And do you think an MLA should be limited to one constituency office per area then?
That salaries of staff are protected and that they're reasonably well paid so that they can provide the service
for MLA. You're freezing them for 6 years, Pat.
No, that's the MLA's salary. We have not done that. And we aren't doing that in relation to the staff salaries. And there's 330
staff. No, but the MLA's you're freezing for 6 years.
No, we have suggested that should happen and we've left it to the public to give us their views and the MLA's. And what I can tell
you is... But your proposal is that it should be frozen for 6 years, right?
Currently, because inflation is at zero, the level is well set for Northern Ireland.
The
issue.
Are you, Pat McCartan, practicing what you preach? Are you frozen for 6 years?
Absolutely. And in fact, if anything, getting less these days than I used to, yes.
So your wage is frozen for the next 6 years until 2021?
There is no... I don't get a wage. I get an hourly rate. And
that's frozen, is it?
It is, yes.
And your expenses have been cut over the next few years, have they?
The expenses are negligible. They aren't going to go up.
So
if you're talking about the Independent Financial Review panel, have a look at how much it costs. It's less than 0.1% of the total cost of the Assembly.
Here's Bill in Belfast. Morning, Bill.
Good morning, Stephen.
What do you think?
I think I agree with it. I agree with the wages froze to 2020. I also agree with the £1,000 cut, only it doesn't go deep enough into their expenses when you see what some of the expenses these men are claiming. Because we're being told every day by Prime Minister and Osborne, we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening. Yeah.
So it's time that the MLAs and the MPs got a bit of pain because we're all feeling the pain. And why should they not feel it any different?
That's the key point, Limit, isn't it? If it's going to be fair, if the politicians are saying to the rest of the public, you've got to tighten your belts, then why not do it on the Pat McCartan's right?
I agree with the sharing of the pain. And also, incidentally, I would violently agree with anyone who phones in and says, how can millionaires be all in it together with people who lost their jobs, including me, incidentally, in 2010? I took a £67,000 pay cut from everything to nothing. So I know what it feels like out here. The second point, and here's the big one, I understand that we have to make sure that we share the pain with politicians and the public at the same time. But simply having what seems to be discretionary freezes on MLA, sorry, 6 years, there's not going to be inflation for 6 years. So essentially, we are cutting the salaries there.
That's after a big increase, of course. You give them, what, 11% of an increase?
They got 11%, but that now has covered a period of 15 years. So it's been less than 1% of an increase over those 15 years. We do need to examine the salaries issue, and we are doing that. And I have a paper published, and I said this to Limit last week, by the way. Go and look at it. And argue with it if you're concerned about the level. And I would say that to all of the MPs or MLAs, sorry, they're free to make their submissions, and we would listen. There is no stomach for a pay freeze for 6 years. There is a commitment to make sure our MLAs are properly rewarded for the job that they do.
Hello, Stephen.
Yes, go ahead, Bill.
Stephen, I would like to suggest that we have an election coming up. Why don't they put an extra question on the ballot paper? Do you agree with the pay freeze and the cuts for the MLAs? And that then they'll get a good broad perspective.
Well, it's an election for MPs, MLAs, isn't it? So that's why that falls down for a start.
MLAs,
yeah, but this election's for MPs.
MPs. Well, put it on that too. Put it in that too.
Okay, Bill, thank you. Michael and Dromore. Morning, Michael.
I work for a company. We're in the public sector as well. We're on £10,000 a year, and we have had our wages frozen for 4 years, and they're up there complaining on what they're getting.
Okay, the point is, you can have this referendum on how much MLA should be paid. I can tell you what it will say every time. Overwhelmingly, people will say, "Let's cut the politicians' salaries." They can never ever win that vote. It's a question.
Yeah, but what do they do for us?
Well, I think they basically helped to broker the peace in Northern Ireland, my friend. I know many of these politicians personally. Whatever you think about them, the overwhelming majority of politicians in Northern Ireland, and I would say also in Westminster, are there for the right reasons.
Okay.
Let
me bring in Andy in Belfast. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm just listening to that there. 48,000 plus what they're getting. I would work for that there for 20,000. Some of them are sitting up there scratching their backsides, doing nothing.
Some of them are working very hard.
People are starving, but here, they're not even earning 10,000, Stephen. They're sitting getting £48,000. It's obscene the money they're getting. And then the MPs are looking at another 10% raise. When's it all going to stop? They're talking about austerity. The people that suffer are the poor.
Well, some of those MLAs would argue that they could earn a lot more than 48 grand in the private sector.
They take the jobs and let the ordinary people like me. I'd walk up there and do it for 20,000 or 24,000 at the most. But to see that kind of money they're getting, what are they doing, Stephen? It's most of
them.
They're running the country.
Oh, Stephen, come on, they're running the country where if we were getting by Westminster, we'd be better off than them boys sitting up in that.
So you don't think our politicians should be on a par with, I don't know, a GP, a doctor, a headmaster?
At 48,000, Stephen, plus there, and up to 60. Sure, look at that time with them, the MLAs and all the money they were getting. And they're robbing the country blame of their expenses.
Can I make a point?
Go on, Lambert.
Yeah, I'd like to respond to that. We did discuss the salaries last week, and in fairness, Pat and I essentially had to agree to differ on that. And I respect what Pat says about that. But here's a suggestion. You say you do £1,000 a year. Why don't you stand next time and say, if elected, I will do it for £20,000 a year?
I'll tell you why I won't stand, because I don't have the money to stand. I'm not rich. I'm just up here. If I could stand on my own 2 feet and go up there, and not have to pay about 15,000 or 17,000 for advertising,
you don't have to do that.
Even afford.
If what you've said is so motivating to the public, they will vote for you just because.
Pat McCartan, you've also announced new rules for MLA expenses today.
Yes.
And one of those rules is aimed at more transparency on who receives rental expenses. And we've been looking at this as a programme for quite some time now, because this is after concern that bodies with connections to parties could be landlords.
That's correct. And rents, but any expenses that are drawn down by an MLA, the MLA is now required to make a prior disclosure of any connection with the body receiving the money, either through an associated person who might be a member of the political party, a supporter of the political party, or maybe a member of a cultural, religious or historic association, and also connected with the MLA. Those are the sorts of issues. If you're a trustee,
is that as a response of the Spotlight investigation last year?
Well, it's as a result of all of the issues that arose last year. Spotlight was certainly included, and it will require every MLA to do what the Nolan principles require them to do, which is to be open, transparent, and to declare fully before they receive their expenses this year any known connections.
But but you're asking them to declare connections rather than stopping it happen.
That's right.
Why is it not being banned? Why could it ever be fair for an MLA to draw money from the taxpayer and give it to someone they're connected with, a family member or indeed somebody else, a colleague?
Well, that is certainly one of the issues we're looking at.
But you're
for
not
the
banning
review.
It.
We're not banning it at this stage. We
Why
can't
not?
Do that because that would be a total review of the expenses regime, Stephen, and we can only do this once every 5 years. The exceptional circumstances are currently that people are not fully aware, and we're reminding MLAs of the need to make those declarations fully on any expenses form that they fill in.
But you're going That's for transparency happening. Rather than banning it.
That the issue of what will or will not fit within office cost expenses in future is currently out to consultation and under review, and we will do address
will
that.
Will you seek to ban it?
We will seek to change the system to ensure that it is not only open and transparent, but that it is fair and reasonable in where and how monies are applied. This is public money.
Well, like, precisely.
We are trying to ensure that it is used for the reasons that it is given or it is
But at the moment, Pat, I'm right in saying that an MLA can have a connected party. In other words, someone who they're related to,
yes.
a family member, and they can, or any other circumstance like this, someone who they know very well, and they can draw the money from the taxpayer and say to the landlord, come on, I know we go out for tea every week, I know we're related, I know your wife's my uncle or whatever it is, right? Whatever. Obviously your wife's not going to be uncle, you take my point. and wink, wink, nod, nod, the taxpayer pays for it.
Well, that's not quite. They are meant to make those declarations currently in the Declaration of Interests. We are not responsible for that. We are responsible for the claims that are made for office cost expenses.
Yeah.
So we're putting
agree.
Into the need for a prior declaration on office cost expenses to be transparent.
So you're widening the areas where declarations
are
required.
We are certainly widening those areas, and that will have some impact. I would expect that will have quite an impact. That'll allow us to see areas that might be of concern for our new determination.
Okay.
My problem with this whole thing is the witch hunt continues in terms of you're allowed to employ. Take one example, and this happens a lot, what I'm about to describe. A member of parliament or an MLA employs a member of staff and they end up in a romantic relationship with them. That's not illegal, it's not disgusting, it's not wrong. But what do they have to then do? Fire them? This is the problem. And Paul Flynn, who is a Labour MP, once made a great phrase. He said, it's better to make your wife your secretary than your secretary your wife. But actually, neither is possible if this has changed. Now, I agree with Pat. It's absolutely right to analyse this. I have no disagreement with what you said on that at all. But I am concerned the public will once again want a scalp. Just because you're related to somebody doesn't mean that they're not doing a great job for you. And a lot of people would argue that your wife is much more likely to be super loyal and work for a pittance than somebody who you don't know so well.
If we're talking about employment, the principle that we want to introduce is the merit principle. And
yeah.
Lembit will understand how important yeah. that is in Northern Ireland, that jobs are yeah. publicly advertised and competed for. Now, at the moment, each MLA is entitled to have one related person on their staff. And that's an issue which is up for consultation. I know that at Westminster they're looking at this again, so we're very interested in it. But the important point here, Stephen, is to ensure that people are paid a reasonable wage for the job that they do working for an MLA. And many of them are not. Many of them currently are underpaid. But there's also a considerable number of them who are overpaid, in our view, for the work that is done. And that's why we've gone out to consultation on the wages and salaries to try and introduce, as they do in Wales, as they do in Scotland, fixed salary schemes for staff in an MLA office.
Well, who do you think is overpaid?
Sorry?
Who are you saying is overpaid?
I'm saying that there are some staff who are paid very significantly more than others under the present situation. If you have up to £67,000 to spend each year, there's no restriction on you paying someone £40,000 of a salary, for example, or someone else £20,000 or
£15,000. I always feel I'm really going hammer and tongs against you, Pat. I have enormous respect for what you do, so please don't feel this is personal. But what I think, in fact, next time I'm over, it'd be great to have a cup of tea and talk about these things, and maybe you'll persuade me. But at the moment, my concern is that we are focusing on the wrong things with these politicians, frankly, in Westminster and in Northern Ireland, and it's for this reason, the form of accountability. If the public don't like who you employ and how you do your job, they can elect somebody else. We had somebody called in earlier on, said he'd do it for 20 grand. I know he said he didn't want to stand, but somebody could stand and make the point. If you don't like the way things are, I'll put the money thing number one on my list. And I would like to suggest that we've now got a double accountability. You're trying to set up a system which tells us how much, I'm not an MP anymore, but tells politicians who they employ, how much they can pay, whereas I actually think I trust democracy to make the judgments. If the outputs come at the other end, then they'll get re-elected.
Yeah, once every 5 years. Okay, Pat, I know you have to go this morning.
Yes, I do, and I have a meeting in very shortly at Stormont. But I'm satisfied that the issues are out there for the public to consult and to let us have their views and MLAs so that we can act upon them. But the two things that came into effect yesterday are prior disclosure on claims and the reduction, further reduction in the expenses by a further £1,000. Those two came into effect yesterday for the current financial year, and they'll apply up to the end of the mandate.
Okay, Pat McCartan, thank you for coming in. Limit, maybe you can stay a moment longer because there are lots of calls on this today. Malachy in Belfast. Morning, Malachy.
How you doing, Stephen? I'm going to send in an expense account to your show here for 13p to get the Kleenex tissues. The tears are running down my face listening to it. Limit, you're a celebrity. Get yourself out of here, mate. The bottom line is this. £48,000 a year is a smokescreen. And you know it, and Stephen knows it, and he remonitors just the way up the meeting to get paid for doing what he does. Is a smokescreen. 48 grand a year, that's the first thing. Then your expenses account, that's the second thing. Then you've got a wee office that nobody goes to, who's owned by your uncle, your auntie, or your granny, and you're claiming big rent off that. Then you've got your family member where you're overpaid or underpaid. So be honest, to say that the MP or an MLA is getting £48,000 a year here is a joke, and you and that other fella are trying to convince the public that you should put up this great this great investigation to stop all this. These boys don't go out the door for under 100 grand a year. And if you take their family members, their rent, their wee offices that they own, but they're renting off landlords, the whole thing is an absolute joke. And the sooner somebody sits down and uncovers it all and puts exactly what they get in the cut, the public and all these debates that you're talking about are absolutely ludicrous.
Cecil, you know, morning, Cecil. Sorry, Limba, go ahead. You can speak to him.
You, sir, have made my point for me. Not only are you unhappy with what I'm saying, as almost the sole voice who comes on and defends things which privately MLAs may agree with me on, but you're actually now criticising the man who is putting caps on, because you think he hasn't gone far enough. This is a no-win situation for politicians. And as long as we distract ourselves by talking about these amounts, we're actually making it harder to get great politicians to stand. And secondly, harder to get politicians the respect that they deserve for doing, in my view, a jolly good job most of the time.
What does that mean, Limbert? You're only answering a question that you didn't answer. You know, I mean, I know you were an MP and you lost your seat, but let's be honest, mate. There is absolutely, I mean, what? I'm backing you up. I'm not backing you up. This guy's talking about putting caps on wages and caps on this, but he can put caps from now until I'm dead and buried. Who's going to do something about it? We've all heard it. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. What are they going to do about it? Somebody on the radio tell you what, Limbert, here's a very simple question. When you were an MP for Westminster, you tell me and tell the listening public how much money you obviously got a week after your expenses, after your offices, after your secretaries, after your kids, after your granny, after feeding a budgie, after a dog, put it down as a guard dog, go, and then all the expenses in England about the flats in London. You know, it's just endless, mate. If somebody was working for me and put in an expense account like that, they'd be booted out the door.
I'll answer your question. I think it was around £65,000 a year in terms of salary before tax, the annual figures. And I think usually I got about £12,000 a year in expenses, about £1,000 a month. Maybe it was a bit more than that even sometimes. And part of that was a mortgage payment. I don't want to go into too much detail because Steve will stop. Essentially, many of those were the cost of living, in two places at once. Now, that became a huge scandal, but it was because the way that it was set up was originally not honest. It was set up a secret salary by Margaret Thatcher, as I'm sure you know. Way wrong way to do it. I've got solutions to that. But let me get back to the central point. I understand why you're fed up with this. I understand how it looks. But in my view, politicians, because they need you to vote for them, cannot get onto the platform, can't get onto the Nolan Show and say what I'm saying, because they'll never get elected. In my view,
correct.
Good people, correct. You pay the right amount of money. And I want to put the challenge to you. If you think this is the key issue, then if you can stand and say, if elected, I will take 20 grand a year or the national salary, then go ahead and do it. Let's test how strong this is.
I would start for elected.
Okay, here's Cecil New Norwich. Go ahead, Cecil.
Yes, I'm listening to your debate with great interest. A question I have is, in Wales, they run their Legislative Assembly with 60 MLAs. Why in Northern Ireland does it take 108?
A very simple answer to that. It was actually when I was Shadow Secretary of State for Northern Ireland, we were trying to find a system which really dealt with the political issues, primarily the political issues, the sectarian pressures and so forth. And we came up with 108 because we felt that would lead to an appropriate proportion from all the relevant factions and communities. So it did its job. The fact we're now arguing that it's too many is kind of a success story because we're now changing the way that we discuss it.
Yeah, does mean that we've more politicians per head here than anywhere else in the UK, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right. But we also have more troubles than anywhere else in the UK. And part of the solution was having 108. Okay, we can bring them down now if that's definitely what Northern Ireland wants. But remember, we were going for a bigger prize at the time, and we got that prize thanks partly to Mo Mullum and her visionary thoughts. And the rest of us trying to produce something fair.
Lemon, thank you very much indeed. Pat McCartan, thank you.